This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
So we thought might be a nice opportunity to explore other voices. We both come from traditions where feminist theologies pervade. It's really good to bring in what is horizontal, being able to everybody. Ask questions. So as we explore these precepts and what it means, we've had this time together to explore this in silence. We've had three Dharma and Shoho, Nanda. So we thought we would kind of turn it over to you a little bit and see what's arising for the group. We can use that as our entry point.
You know what we could do? Maybe it's the problems in the process. What is sacrifice vow by pouring energy? When I look deeply into the real form of the universe, everything reveals the mysterious truth of the Tathagata. The truth never fails. In every moment, in every place, things can't help but shine with this light. Realizing this, our ancestors gave reverent care to animals, birds, and dolphins. Realizing this, we ourselves know that our daily clothing, and shelter are the warm body and beating heart of the Buddha. How can you be ungrateful to anyone or anything? Even though someone may be a fool, we can be compassionate. If someone turns against us, speaking ill of us, and treating us bitterly, it's best to bow down. This is the Buddha appearing for us, finding ways free us from our own attachments, the very ones that have made us suffer again and again and again. Now, on each flash of light, a lotus flower blooms. On each flash of thought, a lotus flower blooms. And on each flower of the left, the light of the Tathagata appears before us, soaking into our feet. May we share this mind with all beings so that we and the world together may grow and improve. I will add a little footnote this time. So he was the Dharma successor of a teacher, a transmitted teacher of the Japanese koan and Middle Hakuin. And the person who is sharing this poem says, Pouring expresses the poem Zen views that morality is inextricably linked with realization, ethics, precepts, with meditation. It's because we see that things can't help but shine in this life that we want to give reverent care and share this mind with our beings so that we might grow in wisdom Even when things are really difficult. You're motivated by the poignancy and the radiance of life. Absolutely.
What's come up for you this session? What are we talking?
I'll start with the first one. So I know this is my practice, and we're sharing this practice with you all. Finishing on lack of value, lack of acceptance, and that's value and how it affects the life our lives. And then once that we put in what we feel and apply that separation, how we understand the lack of separation intellectually. But I feel like it's not, it's more of a psychology of it. You can say, do you feel as if your thoughts jump to feeling that things are enough and that separation is arising there? Because when we experience separation, we place in the gap that arises. That I can identify that we separate at that intellectual level, how we think about it. Notice the variety of what is it really envision at, that lack of separation at intellectual level. But feeling the whole is so difficult. Don't misunderstand me. I, of course, care about all of you. It isn't about that thing, but my feeling as an aesthetic thing. It's along those lines. Don't misunderstand me. Yeah, you feel like you know what's there, but having a chance to take patience is quite worth it. Is that the problem that's arising? I like to use an idiom that comes up and down when we're talking about a board-carrying person. I might have mentioned it to you before, but I'll mention it again. And then oftentimes we describe a person as though they're carrying a board and they have a blinder on only one side, which means that you're only seeing half of the story at any given time. So yeah, coming here, I feel like I can take that board off my shoulder and set it down. And what I can see, my view, becomes more expansive. I can feel myself stretching, myself extending. And then ethics arise, the precepts arise, right? So, finding out from this, I'm making up my own time. I'm really sorry. What is finding out? Okay, it's this. You could find it like this, or like a flashlight.
Use my phone.
Trying flashlight on this idea, really, that we have that non-separation is opposed to both. Maybe we can sit with kind of a question of curiosity, like especially curious fellow. Some curiosity about what is here already. If you don't have to go anywhere to go find anything, what is here? And what is here is everything's coming through all of your senses all the time, flowing by, including your mind consciousness, that's a sense, and our own. And are any of those things separable from you and me and us together? So it's not like some other place that you're gonna get to. Already, you're already there. You're already here. It's more like no barrier done. If you can move the idea out of the path, you see you're already on the road. You're already okay, you're already not set. And then in the movies, you and it, now I get it by everything, and that's it. Rise is up to meet you, they say, and I was the road rise up to meet me. I think it's good to play around in that field of what's here right now. Really like the Buddha, you know, for the rest of his life, he practiced 40 more years, he practiced. He didn't say, I'm done. Because the practice, the actual practice, is where we understand mindset. Not just sitting, breathing, cooking, eating, going. It's always there. No place to go. Nothing to do. There's one story that I really love about a monk who arrived on the road, arrived at a road, and he was standing there. Oh, sorry. Arrived at a river. He was standing on the bank of it. And he sees a teacher on the opposite shore. He waves and says, Master, Master, how do I get to the other shore? And the master says, You're already on the other shore. But we do that, right? We're looking for peace at the top of mountains. Once we hike our way up there and arrive, we know that the peace that we have here is us. Maybe Zen is something that we brought with us up the mountain. Maybe. Like you said, sometimes I find myself starting from that lap, and my path goes off the beaten trail. But when I come back, that realization, I realize that I'm letting my fears my doubt, my insecurity, drive my car, and make a decision. Instead of me following my Buddha way, my inner wisdom, my inner life. Of course, I still make mistakes along the way. Of course, there's still bumps that I hit. But I'd rather course correct and experience those mistakes. It's more than one reason. My experience on this being sound of the fire, everything that he's making, I really wanted to explain to all of you in your bodies and people's they're not things that can be interpreted by. That's what the main test. It was kind of like a symphony that the fireplace with the wood burning and the pretenders of monster, the worthy. And I wish there was somebody to keep either way. And just kind of, help you experience it in a different way. Maybe not talk about the fact that similarly, that's okay, it's happened. Tap on the floor next to you so you could hear what you're hearing. And also, are you thinking, I don't know if you know, but there's a tree right here in the middle by the office. And everybody can see. All of us can see. So you don't hear it. And I just wanted you to know. So I don't know what else. The sound of the main color is really loud. And a lot of rain is all quiet now. This morning I wanted to share.
I could symphony on that.
Oh, I
and it's
also
written
that.
For us, right?
Yeah.
And we get to experience that. Even though that could have been symphony. Right?
And also stomachs growling. That's what I'm talking about. Stomachs growling. Anyway, I was just thinking about that.
And so I was listening and taking notes. I want to express a frustration that has existed. As you correctly identified, I'm kind of a faithful guy. I also grew up on a farm. I like to get dirty, I like to put my hands in the dirt beds. So sometimes I was sitting here thinking, why did the ancestors make us sit in these beautiful places? Why did they bring us here with this beautiful forest around us and make us sit at the wall and not allow us the opportunity to go out and explore the nature and community habit? That was a description.
A monastic practice developed to kind of corral the energy of young male monks. We're talking about, you can imagine the energy. So disciplining the mind It's part of disciplining the body. Sitting, sitting, like we're sitting, there's a monastic center that have a lot of work. You get a little bit of samurai today. They did a lot of samurai, mostly sweeping and cleaning all day long, and then food as well. And so you would be home, at home, in the 12th century. Working hard all day long, getting just enough food to get by, or your humans just enough. And it was designed to change energy, I guess, to move in ways that are wholesome and helpful. I guess I would also add that it's a different culture. We've imported this thing. Reinterpreting it all the time. That changes every country it goes to. It's baby, their family, their 100 years, and so there's and our culture, which is always busy doing, it's probably the benefit from sitting down and not eating and not placing such a privilege on the eating, but being seen, or being noticed, or recognized. All of those things are like the foundation of our culture. I mean, who's going to pay attention to you on the wall? Who's going to pat you and say, good job? How about you feeling the first self that arrived? And I like this. I want that. I don't like me. So, I don't think it's wasted on us to be sitting. I hope it's not wasted. And
No.
I believe that it's great to get your hands on the board and make and with you. But there's time for making, there's time for sitting. It happens to be a time for sitting. But I hope you'll make it.
Yes, but maybe I didn't express it so well. But I guess because I do love being nature and being in the city. I'm unfortunately the city boy at the moment, and so I don't have access to my feet. And so when I very frustrated to be inside me because I really want to be out in the community and experience that really feeling of union and interdependence of all things while I'm not there.
Some of us are probably good. Yeah, go to the room. This is a very special place. And take it all in. Eat it all up.
I just wanted to follow up with a comment in that there have been many subjects here that included outdoor eating. I have attempted at times to do eating on the entire loop, the short loop, the goal. And never had the time to finish that. But that's also an amazing opportunity to bring this practice to nature.
I will also say for our other sessions, I hope you'll come back because we'll have you working in the garden and farm boy and pulling weeds and grow putting to work. You come back.
We also have to be careful because when anytime we attach a dog to this has been ruled about, we said it's already created not any outcomes. So, the chakra heart tree, well, that's why I want to hear the chakra heart tree come. But yeah, I don't want to hear the supercars racing. On the room. It's still in my feet. Now I want to hear the Dongle Creek in the river. These are the sounds that I want. This is what I want. It's my back. I'm really attached to that. I mean, this is sound of pleasant, this sound of not. We know what it's got. And I tell you what, I spent 20-something years staring up at the arm and so bound all the turn around, and I'm like, yeah. And 5 seconds later, oh, I missed the wall. It just like put the mind up.
Based on my observations here, I can see how strong of a focus there is on eating and on food traditions here. My sitting practice has been focused on centering myself and on other aspects. I'm coming here, I feel comfortable meditating. I think things are going really well. But when I go and join you all for a meal, I have to admit, I feel that I'm maybe off in some way. Everybody's eating so quickly, and I feel so rushed. I'm wondering if there's any reason behind that, that rushed feeling, because so often the practice of meditation and of minding oneself and of mindfulness, I thought it would mean that we would enjoy food, that we would sit down and enjoy it and get mindful. But it feels like there's a disconnect around food. So I'm just wondering if there's a specific impact of that. What do you think? Well, first, everybody is smiling and nodding along with you. We all did. Want to add that. Yeah, I gotta say that I had this same thing. I think I was actually rude enough to complain to my teacher about this. And said, I don't get it. Why can't we talk? And why can't we go, oh, and why can't we talk about the food? Because basically, I like food. And food to me is kind of an expression of love. And the conversations at the table, why would you not go on and on about how delicious this food is, how delicious our time together is, and meditate in this, you know, expansive place of sharing across the table with all these beautiful people. And again, it's the tradition comes from a monastery. I think if you took our instruction to this year, she would have told you, this is designed for efficiency. People get those ones in, feed them just enough, and get them out. And, you know, in that practice, there's also lots of opportunities in the chat. Not the beauty, you know, rent with other people who need to be fed. And the efficient, the economical, you know, we cherish the economy, although some of us, for a human being, are not so economical with our words, I've been told. And the point is that it's designed, the tradition is designed to be super efficient. And now I never say we got you on meals, the whole thing, service, eating, bowls wrap, 30 minutes. Pretty impressive, really, right? Not what you expect in some ways, you know. You want to kind of I taste every incredible piece of grain, fluffy rice today. I don't know how you get that. I want to say, oh, it's pretty good. You know, we put it away. So it changed your, it makes you stretch in a way, right? And you felt a little uncomfortable. Like, oh, what is this? So, I mean, I think it's kind of like putting on another pair of shoes and saying, can I wear these? Can I be okay? Not doing things the way I think they should be done. And doing it the way it is right here, right now. It's kind of a nice little model. All the other challenges that arrive that we kind of wish were different, right? So in Zen practice, we surrender. We do a lot of this. Okay, this is what's here. Or as I said to somebody, when you're around, you kind of do what the Romans do. When you're in Zen, you kind of do what the Zen is doing. And the tradition is we eat like fools. And can we be okay? Obviously, you're okay. I'm okay too. We're okay, even though it's probably what we would prefer. Could you put away your preferences and say, well, this is kind of fun too. This choreography, dancing, doing the table, all that is kind of fun too. Just a different way. And letting go of our preferences makes the way less difficult. Oh, okay, so I want to add a story as well.
So, still, good.
Dr. Song Kwang, recently retired from being the abbot at Sonoma Young Center. He taught there for probably 50 years, maybe. Cool. He's been a monk. He was a monk for over 60 years, or something like that, and he became a Kogi. Right, he's a good friend of Kogi, among other things. And he started Zen, the Zen practice. He practiced with Suzuki Roshi in his own apartment. Suzuki would cook for them. And they were among the first few American Zen students. Suzuki would cook and provide food for them. And Bill thought, this is how to be mindful. To receive the food, to slowly eat, to savor every bite, right? And Suzuki was shocked to hear that, right? Later, he thought, all Americans eat like senior citizens. Like very slowly after another. Like, really, the point is that mindfulness can be slow, it can also be fast. Right? So, up there is an opportunity to practice fast mindfulness. With a group, which can be challenging.
I want to start it because I have and similar thought, but isn't everything that was in fact for the people somewhere or the work and the people of the world. It's like they're running. And they're so peaceful and so quiet and so calm. And in the beginning, you see how this is possible, they must be stressed. They have so much for the person. But then when you realize that this is just things that, routine things that we have to do, that we do, and the important things that are happening to another, and you keep the peace of mind, and you really appreciate more this and because it does a gift is what else can do. Behavior, physical, in physical situation, readiness. I would say it's readiness. Can So, in the beginning, when we met, we said that thank you, and I remember saying that. Thank you for your warmth and curiosity. I would say the same. I think that we are we are here, we're gathered here because we share all the same things. And most of all, this belief, which is mental, it's emotional, It's a feeling, but it's more than more than all this. It's feeling of different for information and whatever you want to say to everything around you. But I think if everyone yes, this is very, very rare and not thank you very much, Nova, to say to remind me about the especially good here that I learned that you are, we are a family, we're committed to service, we eat, we feel, we sense it, we sleep in our dreams. Maybe we cannot express, maybe we feel that we are somewhere else, but if there was another word for to describe that, it's not a belief, it's something bigger, it's something it's a certainty, something that we know, it's something that we know that we are on the right track and on the right path, but we know that it doesn't matter if we know why we take our vows or we don't take our vows, we know that we are we are on the, you know, on the right side of the river. So it's something that works cannot find the right place or signs cannot find the right place. I was looking forward to be here again and meeting all of you in the family and expanding with more of my family. And thank you for that. Yeah, a lot of things happen in these 2 days, you know, the sort of thing ever. And then found the precepts. They're not necessary. Where are they today? I didn't think they were necessary for us. I think we are partly on the precepts right now, too, altogether. We have the precepts to take us with us, to take them with us when we leave from here, and then thereafter. So, yeah, it's very, very good.
Practical meditation question. I'm noticing that at certain times of day I'm more focused. Like mid afternoon, I kind of just find myself checked out and flipping through memory channels, and just it's really hard to kind of come back in to focus. I'm not trying to get in a fight with myself, but I'm open to some suggestions for how to kind of bring it back a little bit more so I'm not just drifting. That was a hot bit of that really quick. I used to sit with an old Baku teacher, and so we have Soko and Rinzai, right? And there was this other school exam, it's about as big as a postage stamp, powerful Baku. It's kind of like Rinzai. Let's have this Rinzai teacher. Now, you know, it's like for years, every Wednesday night, go and help them set up cushions and sit with them. This is like very, very eager, and I sit with him. And then at the end of the sitting, we would be stacking cushions back up and stuff. And he would ask, well, how was your sit? And say, oh, it's good, it's good, it's good. And this went on week after week, how was your sit? Oh, it's good, it's good. It's good. And I was like, wait a minute, wait a minute. That's not right, you know. Was there a good sit and a bad sit? So every week, how would you sit? And I was like, good. And he's like, oh, good, good. I said, ah, this next week, I'll get it. Right? I'll get it. So we're stacking cushions. He goes, how would you sit? And I said, bad. He goes, good. I mean, without missing a beat. I mean, it's a little jerk, you know, all that, right? Like, there's like this quality of like, you know, like, but what it is really is demonstrating this kind of relationship he has with himself. He's demonstrating the relationship he has with his practice. I think it was Nonin or one of these Midwest Zen teachers who said, somebody asked him, oh, what about X, Y, and Z? And he said, I don't give it too much sunshine or rain. I love that. I don't give it too much sunshine or rain. It's just like, this is, you know. And so, you know, rubbing elbows with people who practice for a really long time, they tend to have these kind of attitudes. It's just like, oh, now this is happening. Sometimes even surprised and delighted about it, but it's always kind of fresh, even if they're the same stupid thing, you know, that you're slipping through, it's still fresh and alive. So that's me. That's me. Good sit, bad sit, not attached to any of that. I'm not attached to it. Not saying this like it's true. But like, but you know what I mean? You know, like you know, you're sitting with that kind of attitude. You're sitting with that kind of relationship to yourself, that it's not, hey, this is okay. This is all okay. This is, you know, I'll use anything, you know, to make it work. You know, I'll, sure. All the ingredients of my life, says the Tenzo Kyoken, every piece to make this supreme meal. Maybe it is. With all of it.
I had a couple of thoughts that are the flip side of that, which is I just thought that when you're doing to actually direct your breathing up here. So this is when you want to go deep down to the ground, and this is when you want to wake up. So you can just practice with your breath a little bit. And the other thing I would say is that find that actually in Switzerland, back in a way, and you know, sometimes I'm just incredibly bored in there. I just, there's nothing left to follow, you know, there's just nothing. He goes, oh, that's such a wonderful place to it's okay, it's okay. When you're completely bored and you're just like, look, there's nothing, you know, like there's nothing left to grab. You know, it's like, oh, okay, there's nothing going across the screen of your mind, but yet you're not like in bliss land, you're just sitting there. That's good. It's a very deep teaching. So I'm with Ocean Sensei, whatever it is.
I'm really breathing out, checking your posture, checking your gaze on your head. Usually we keep our eyes at 45, but when you're feeling like drowsy, you know, we say just watch the breath. But when I'm feeling drowsy, I might activate my breath a little bit because one of the things is you start getting into this. You're also like first stage sleep, kind of like hypnosis kind of level. And sometimes you're just like ropey, kind of in the sitting, riding that a little bit. Some teachers are saying that's not real Zazen and whatever, whatever. Bring a little oxygen back into the brain and bring the gaze up, check the posture, you know. There's really, you know, nothing else people go about it, but monks created the tea culture in China, basically. Do you know what I mean? I mean,
If they could have, they
it's
would have been shooting
medically necessary. So, I mean, I'm kidding, but like doing things that support you to support your practice. So, there's things like knowing, hey, my afternoon zazen is always a little ropey, or it tends to be a little ropey. Is a chance to be like, look at all the pieces that make that. And not just be on a cushion, though. Oh, I'm stuck here again. Oh, I can shower, I have a little caffeine, I could change my posture, I can sit on the other side of the room, just a little tweak, and all of a sudden the universe is all the time. I don't know. Or just sit there like the rest of it.
I think that anybody who's sitting in this window has sat next to a random sleeping. Not us, of course.
You know, that's the story about the early days of San Francisco Zen Center. They had all, you know, it's kind of like that, they're like, Jukai. And so they had all these, the kids, everybody, here come all these Japanese monks. And so everybody wants to be like, proper and like, we're doing this crap. And so everybody's like sitting, and you know, this the real one, like the monks up on the distance, all come, I see that there, and all the Americans sit. And they said, like, they're sitting for half hour, 45 minutes, it's like an hour, and all the Americans are like, oh my gosh, they're testing us, we're not good enough, we're not good enough to receive the teachings and carry Zen for him. And at some point, after an hour, some of them started to turn around and look, and all of the Suzuki Roshi and the dignitaries, all the monks that had flown in, all like, the whole real bond fell asleep, including the bell ringer. And so, again, we have this story, we're all like, oh, I'm not good enough, and all of these monks are over here. But I mean, that's a true story. And the reason I thought was, again, it's like we can live in that, frame of saying, like Sensei said, you put that in front of you on the path.
And
you know.
It depends, it's an actual thing, right?
The chin rest.
Chin rest.
It ties. It's a board. It's a board with a hole in it, and you tie it into your shuken, into your belt, so that you can sleep in zazen.
So you're still in your seat.
Yeah. So you'll see, if you start studying Zen literature, there's props, there's objects that come up a lot. You know, they'll say, pass me my sandals, or he flew a chin rest. What's a chin rest? It was an object that would have been around the monastery. So back in those days, they thought, this is a very meritorious thing if I could maintain this zazen posture. Hakuin had himself tied into a box one time. He had his legs and arms tied, and he was in a box. And so, like, if he fell, he would hit touches in a box. And he said, I'm going to do zazen.
That's next weekend.
Yeah, that's the advanced club. Well, that's the basic club. I don't know what that is. But I'll show us
tomorrow.
That's tonight. Are you ill? There's one last story I will say that counters everything I just said. And that's why I'm going to tell it to you. There's a story about a monk who said, well, that's it. It's the last night of session. This is it. It's just the 50th session I've done, and I didn't get enlightened. So this, I said this was going to be the one, and he threw himself at his sitting the whole time. He's going to try and be enlightened, right? And then so that the last period of zazen, he lit a stick of incense, and he said, and he put a knife in front of himself. And he said, if this reaches, you know, if the incense burns out, I'm not enlightened by the end of this. It's the knife. It's out there.
Ow!
Oh! So you can, like, kind of push yourself in the wrong way.
Monastery was fall, and that was the teacher who I didn't know was Yancy as usual. And I was there alone with the 80 something year old abbot. I thought they would be filled with monks, but I was the only one. And
So I worked all day long. I mean, I worked until I dropped. And there was a whole lot of people there. And so after my first week, there was a whole section. And so I was just thrown into the deep end. It was wonderful. But the feature that I loved the most was, my groveling the first few days, taking care of. It's lovely feature. And then all these people came and I work, 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 work. I never had a chance to think. And I literally could not come up with a thought because there was something to do and something to do. And I was saying this to Cassidy, but it was just one thing after another, after another, after another. And it was more like, okay, I do this now. Okay, I do this now. The same thing. Like now I'm sitting and now I'm doing dishes and now I'm cooking and now I'm already cooking. So you had a little place that I was at. So we didn't have it. The place wasn't filled with much because the two of us had it. But still, there is something to be done all the time. And it's the beauty of this is that you forget about all of your machinations that you usually carry around like a big sack of crap. It's just gone. You're just doing one thing after the other, and it's so pleasurable. So there's a little relief from the one who's analyzing and judging and getting there. It's just not getting anywhere. It's just you're not going anywhere, and you're not getting anywhere. You're just doing what's right in front of you. It's so pleasurable just to remember that way. And this is what sitting is for. For you to have the experience of surrendering, not making decisions about what you're going to eat, when you're going to eat, when you're going to sit, when you're going to take a shower. It's in the schedule, and you do the schedule. Because if you're willing, you get to forget about being you, which you did. Forget about being you. Feeling that I'm working. Thing that we can allow that. It feels like I've been growing up with you. It's been 2 years that I've been with us and doing this. I feel myself growing up with you. And how this sewing practice will help me going forward. So nice to meet all of you. For example, sometimes I have talked about how I felt about war earlier, and Anton also talked about his experience with war. He's much closer than my own. My friends and I. So I started thinking about his friends, his experience. Felt nice to join us. If you bring the talk open, I really loved that concept of smiling when you sit. Because it can be so easy when you're looking at the wall to be overwhelmed and mindful of what's happening in your talk. And then how you received me, I was welling up. Anton was talking about his friends, and I was welling up. There's just been so many of them. I'd like to turn another flashlight on the rocket tube. Thank you for sharing with me. If there are any systems where I tell you there are a lot of people in this group love it. But I'll tell you that I can do the back. Well, if you're it's already put. But we have another Robinson story that I was going to put in the backpack, but I didn't have permission. I hadn't asked that she just gave me permission. And another book for me too. So I'm going to tell part of this. Katerina was in Greece, and she can't see, but she was in Greece. I'm not here. And she asked to sew, and she was in a sewing cohort online with the sewing teacher, believe it or not, who's in the middle of the country, Fiona, thank you, Fiona. And so there are four people here, and there's five people here in addition, but Anton's not here. To Katerina, who were sewing together, even though they're all these time zones.
maybe a month ago, sent me her Rakusu from Greece. She sent it to DHL. Not that I'm that angry with them, but maybe angry. She sent it to DHL to be delivered here while, you know, people were here. And we came, they sent me a picture of it in the box up at the road. And I texted them, please go and get it. I'll be there tomorrow. And they got up there, he was gone. His son poured her whole heart and mind into each step, memory to you, books, and memory to you, hope, memory to you. So for months and months, every Wednesday at 5 a.m. in the morning. Sometimes the and of course, the employee told her it was on. I'm on the phone to reach out. It's not there. And they tracked down the driver. Someone stole it. It was pouring rain. And I went up and down the road. The ocean told me sometimes people steal things and just toss them. It's not of value. So I'm in the rain on the side of the road looking for a DHL envelope. It was gone. It's still gone. And then I told my sewing teacher, and long story short, a cohort, five, like yours, and so the back of for her, what, 20 minutes? I don't know how they did it. The sewing teacher and all of her cohort, she felt maybe I should take, maybe this is a sign, and maybe I shouldn't talk to Kyle. I don't know. She's in Greece. I'm in a parking lot that might be, but you got
no, I'm in Japan. I was in full snow, and I wanted to be in the cold water.
It was not like that. They all decided they were going to put a rocket seat for her. I sewed a rocket seat for her. And then she had the same special fabric from Kyoto,
exactly, yeah.
That she bought 20 years ago.
2016. And yeah.
So that was the envelope that she had also had gone. And her sewing teacher found that fabric. She found the fabric, she made it an envelope. So Anton and Dave and Mariko and Vienna
and Carlin
and Carlin
and Nora
and Nora put it all whole. And her job was to receive that love. Her job was to receive that. And that's a discipline, right? But she did it. And they did it. And they did it together. No giver, no receiver. To me, this is probably one of the most moving things I've ever witnessed in Sangha. I mean, people, it's easy to show up, you know, but they just, out of the precept, study, they knew how to engage as Buddhas. And she knew how to receive it as a Buddha.
So we have this belief, this common belief that we share, and that all the time on our way, it's confirmation, signs and confirmation to show us that we are on the way, but that all the time confirmation, and we're just believing we will see that every single moment. It's really, thank you so much.
Thank you, Irina. You remember, we were looking all over the, not only the long history, not in the words far, far away, but also John Selma's
name.
And so she would say, look, I'm on the bus here. And then, oh, sorry, that's not John Selma. And she's like, oh. And then it happened. And then I said, well, thank you. Don't get so excited about it. You don't see them. And she goes, and then I asked for your help. I think I found something. I think I found a lot of something over here. And there is a few of John Selma all for her. And we all did friends that make them for us in the pasta. And that was all part of Nina's farm. Well, you know, it was given back to her. She was looking for Rocky Soup and she found something else. And then more
of that. Yeah, Rocky Soup story is about. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else, Brian? Brian, make sure your voice isn't heard.
What's that?
What did you do to ask if the carbon toxic is going to be here?
As a carbon toxic coated?
Yes.
I never really know. It's kind of like the crackers. So, I don't.
Some of them get recorded if somebody remembers to click and then click stop. So some of them are, sometimes that doesn't happen, but yeah.
And I
some of them are good. Yeah.
You know, if you look on the website under talks, someplace that you have, it is there. I know we both have talks at this, like the whole, you know, scene. And I think somebody pressed the button, kept my project pretty good about it. But this weekend, so I'm not positive that I received. So I'm not positive, but your power. Okay. Yeah.
Tomorrow, I guess, allowed to take pictures and video with their phones, or because I know phones aren't allowed in the window.
Well, what we don't want is what America's Abbott did. We don't want your phone to ring because, you know, people might be in the moment scary to listen. So, sure, no problem. You can videotape it. You know, thank you for reminding me of this smartphone. I mean, I asked you, I don't know if you asked, but because of oceans, yes, yes, no. Because oceans, Sangha, your Sangha, our Sangha, this is a very special event, this kind of merging of practices and languages and experiences. So we really would like to record it. Not the whole thing, but certainly stills and some video, because it might be the only time it's ever happened. I don't know, maybe. And even if it's not, it's absolutely the first time here. It's absolutely the first time for all of us. So we would like to record it. And to do that, we need to know that if there's anybody in the room who does not want to be visible or seen, please let Pachi know. Pachi lives here. She'll be videotaping and photographing. And so please do that because you're entitled to your privacy. So please let people know. Yes, Pam.
For the ceremony tomorrow, will it be recorded and available through Zoom? Which means that will be
will be live on Zoom. And it will be recorded on Zoom.
So
it will be recorded on Zoom. So if you don't want to be in the room of that, get to be here in a dark corner.
That would be nice. I'd love to say that.
Right. I'm talking about stills that Pachi might take that would be maybe a little bit more close. The video that will be recorded, there'll be a table where we're going to ordain you. And that camera for the service will be right here. So right at the end of our table. So that's what we'll be seeing on the recording. Pachi will be taking stills up and video of another point of view. Okay. So there might be multiple points of view, multiple cameras and perspectives, it sounds like. And maybe if you have family and friends who are recording, you can ask everyone to upload to Dropbox so that everyone can. But if you don't want to be in it, please let Pachi know. And tomorrow during the actual ceremony, get away. Get a recording. So you'd be out of sight if you have something to do. Okay. Thank you all for the practice.
Let's reset the room and have a little time before you leave.
So there's what's that for? Who's leading yoga? Paulina?
Nora.
Would you be willing to do this in a small company? Because we have to, just the teachers and interpreters have to go through the ceremony a little bit. So all of you do have to go stay away. And if anyone would be willing to bring down the cushions from the small zendo and just stack them in the zendo so that we're ready for tomorrow, because Kenzo says that we're over 40 people, and that's without the public. So that's just us, and yes, we're over people who are registered, but without the public that shows. So it's going to be standing room only, probably. So we need at least space we can get pushing it, okay?
There's no commitment for the zone, so that's why I left. That doesn't mean more.
I will also add, we're going to need a number of volunteers for various things to help kind of control the flow of people. We might need somebody standing outside kind of directing the parking situation. It's going to be all hands on deck to kind of like, you know, kind of accommodate all of these people that are going to be coming. So especially if you're not receiving the precept, we would love to have your help and support, because our baby Buddhas have another day. Okay.
I want to show up and see what we've got to do now. Maybe 455.
Feel free to grab a volunteer to help you reset that room and make that. But you shouldn't be doing that all by yourself. But we're going to join you in the class.
And then we'll take the cushions after yoga. We'll take the cushions.
I have
an excellent eye room. I found an excellent eye room. If someone would like to iron on something for being a robot something for tomorrow, I can bring it to you.
Really? Is that my iron?
That is so good.
That's good.
So,
wash our robes kind of together and throw them in the dryer together and kind of de-limp, and we already have a plan going for that, right?
Are you getting any waves and dots? I'm just getting them off, but they're all about.
Can I ask just one more thing for tomorrow? Whoever is the fire maker who makes the beautiful fire in the morning.
That's Anton. He's been doing that for a while.
Okay, I'll ask him.
What is it you want?
To not make a fire for Dukai.
Well, you know, I don't know about that. It might snow tomorrow.
It's going to be so many people. And we are going to be so nervous and sweaty.
Okay. I have 14 layers of wool in there.
Oh, good.
What's going to be done?
No.
No?
We can't be done. No, throw it on.
Oh, that's right.
And one more announcement before people leave. Tonight, we're going to do a very
raw kind of intimate little ceremony after the refuges are finished.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org. Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.